Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Alvinger. Former President Trump is expected in a federal courtroom in Florida today for a closed-door hearing in the case that accuses him of illegally keeping classified documents. He also faces a deadline today to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to pause his election interference case to appeal a lower court ruling that he's immune from criminal prosecution. The FBI has joined the investigation into a shooting at a Houston megachurch.
The 2 p.m. Sunday service at Lakewood Church is conducted in Spanish. Pastor Jorge Basabe had just begun the live stream. Gunshots are heard and people are seen running behind Basabe. A woman who had brought a rifle into the building was shot and killed by off-duty law enforcers. Police and the FBI are searching a home thought to be connected to the suspect.
Police say the words "Free Palestine" were found on the gun used in the shooting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will miss this week's NATO meetings in Brussels while he's hospitalized for a bladder issue. This is ABC News. Charles Darwin is credited with introducing the concept of evolution. Today, researchers are marking what would have been his 250th birthday.
For the first time, the entirety of Charles Darwin's personal library is now available on the internet for free. The Darwin Online Project has published hundreds of thousands of books, journals, manuscripts, and images from the naturalist. Many are appearing online for the first time, including some newly discovered items. That means anyone with an internet connection can comb through Darwin's favorite novels, his personal correspondence, even illustrations. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A change to political content on Meta platforms. Instagram and Threads will stop recommending political content proactively from accounts that you don't follow. But users can opt in to see political posts, including election-related topics. The platform says it wants to make Instagram and Threads a great experience for everyone. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin 8th District Congressman Mike Gallagher won't be running for re-election this fall. That announcement came in a statement that the Republican Gallagher released over the weekend. During his 4 terms in the House, the Green Bay area representative has been seen as a hawk on U.S.-China relations, chairing the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. A statement from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin cited dysfunction in the House Republican caucus as the reason for Gallagher's decision. Former State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton said in a Saturday post on X that he'd run for the seat that Gallagher's vacating. Lawmakers in the Chippewa Valley want to reallocate untapped state funds toward emergency service grants.
It's $15 million allocated in the last state budget for HSHS to provide expanded mental health capacity. That never happened. State Senator Jesse James says the closure of HSHS hospitals will mean a loss of emergency services.
St. Joseph's campus and Sacred Heart campus accounted for almost 40% of the ER visits.
Two bills would free up the money and allow it to be used for grants to fund emergency services in the area. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people have died following shootings in southeast Wisconsin over the weekend. A shooting early Saturday morning on Milwaukee's northwest side left a 27-year-old pregnant woman dead. Police say the victim, identified by family as Kuvina Hickles, died at the scene. A 27-year-old man was arrested in connection to that shooting. Charges are pending review by the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. Meanwhile, on Saturday evening, a 20-year-old man died in a Kenosha shooting. Police say the victim had multiple gunshot wounds. An ongoing investigation is looking into that incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today under sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to the low 40s. We hang on to the warmth through midweek, but then a storm system strikes, bringing a wintry mix and dragging in much cooler temperatures behind it for the weekend. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
Mixed trade in the soy complex, but soybeans did find a way to hold on to modest gains through the close that helped corn close slightly higher and wheat close above session lows. Live cattle and lean hogs were lower, but feeder cattle accelerated the move to the upside.
Live from the birth of the $5 bill via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Jake Handley from Tucrium ETF. Later, it's Kerry Archak from ArchakAdvisory.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
Okay, I think this could go a couple of different directions.
Okay.
It is February 12th. We're knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. Knocking on the door of a three-day President's Day weekend.
Yes.
So is it Abraham Lincoln's
It's Lincoln
birthday?
Today. Lincoln, February 12th. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. All right. See, I can decipher your fivers.
Well, and by the way, with President's Day coming up, I would just send out a friendly reminder. Have you checked your horse's feet lately? Have you in need of a trim at all? Perhaps. Friendly reminder.
Are you going back in time? Is that what you're doing?
I don't know if I'm going back in time or if I've just been sitting still all these years. You know, it's hard to tell.
Oh, boy. Welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Jake Handley from Tucrium ETFs. It's been... It's been almost a year since we have had someone from Tucrium. A lot of times we have Sal Gilberte on.
Love Sal, yeah.
Yep. But we need to get an update on what is happening with the ETFs. We talk about how the specs, the funds, have loaded up on the short side of the market. Well, what's that doing to the ETFs? And what are the people that trade the ETFs? What are they looking at on a regular basis? So we'll get a download from Jake on what is happening with the ETFs. So looking forward to that.
There's a Bitcoin ETF now, isn't there? Is it Bitcoin or is it just a broader crypto ETF maybe that's available now?
I think it's a Bitcoin.
Yeah. I wonder if he can help us with that. I still don't get it.
Yeah, neither do I.
Wheat futures were on the defensive for much of the session, but front month soft red winter wheat futures did come back to close fractionally higher. The contract posted an inside trading day with a mid-range open and traded on both sides of unchanged for the 14th time in the last 16 sessions. Export inspections of wheat weekend of February 8 totaled just over 407,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. Reports that countries neighboring Ukraine are beginning to increase checks on grain entering their country suggests Ukraine could have more difficulty exporting via alternative routes in the months ahead. March HRW wheat futures 2¾ lower, 598¾. March SRW wheat up 0.75 cents to 597½. March spring wheat closed at 682½, down 1¾ cents. Chip, a lot of talk just today about inspecting this Ukrainian grain. Is it quality concerns? What are we talking about here?
I think the concern is that Ukrainian grain is coming in and kind of, you know, hurting their markets. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's got anything to do with quality and reality.
Yeah.
It's just that it's disrupting their markets. And so they're going to stick some roadblocks up in front of it.
Yeah. Well, corn futures opened higher and fell back to post a new contract low and then rallied to close just above the opening range. Export inspections of corn weekend at February 8 totaled 880,000 metric tons. That was at the high end of expectations. The Brazilian bean harvest is speeding forward, which means planting of the Safrina crop is also rolling along. AgriRal increased its estimate of second crop corn production by nearly 5 million metric tons, Chip. That's due to evidence that farmers are planting more acres than initially estimated. Safrina corn crop plantings are already estimated to be 38% complete. March corn futures were a penny and a half higher, 430½. May corn up a penny, 442½. July corn futures closed at 452¼. That's up 1½ cents, Chip.
A higher Brazilian corn crop estimate. I think that kind of falls into the category of, and now for something completely different. We've been talking about is reasons that Brazilian crop is getting smaller, and here comes AgriRal saying they're getting the bean crop off, they're planting the corn crop in a hurry, so watch out, they're going to plant some more acres.
March soybean futures opened near session lows today and closed high range while posting an inside trading day. March beans for a second consecutive session failed to trade above $12. The Brazilian bean crop harvest reportedly 23% as of Thursday. That's the second fastest harvest pace on record. AgriRal says more than half of the bean crop in Mato Grosso has been harvested. Soybean export inspections totaled 1.33 million metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. Soybean meal futures ended higher, but were well off session highs. And bean oil traded lower throughout the session. March beans 9½ cents higher at 11.93. May beans up 7¾ cents, 11.97¾. July closed at 12.07½. That's up 7¾ cents. Bean oil still on our mind.
Yeah.
Chip.
Yeah. March contract down 36 points today. The March meal was up $2.10.
Well, March cotton was 125 points lower today at 90.53. On your livestocks, April fat cattle opened slightly lower, rallied to spike resistance at Friday's high, then turned down to close near session lows. April fat cattle 80 cents lower, 185.92½. March feeders 167½ higher, 248.82½. And here's your April lean hog future contract, 2½ cents lower, 81.12½. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, doing great. Beautiful day here in Chicago. Lots of sun. Kind of chilly out, but that's okay. It's still February after all.
Darn right.
But things are looking all right.
Yeah, good, good. Things are looking pretty good down in Brazil with the pace of that bean harvest, too.
Well, it's kind of it is. The harvest is coming off with all due speed, and that's a good thing on one side. On the other side, it's a bad thing. It's if you want to get your corn on, you're getting that chance because of the beans being picked up fast. But I think it's also an indication of how low the yields have actually been in the beans. There's just not a lot of beans to harvest down there, so the harvest is going faster.
Wow. So the number that we got from USDA last week, 156, I don't think anybody's really in the private sector is in line with that. It's sub 150 million metric tons on the Brazilian bean crop, right?
I think so. I've been thinking that for a while. My best guy says it's about 147, and he's been that way for a couple of months. And I generally trust him. He might not be the, you know, exactly dead on, but he's got it in the right direction, I think. Okay. And you know, a lot of sources, you know, Ag Resource Brazil's down below that. Yeah. So a lot of people are down below, well below 150, and I don't think anybody's believing that USDA estimate. But, you know, it also caused USDA to lower our export number and increase ending stocks. So I think it was a terrible number, and I'm really kind of upset about it, and I think we're going to feel that repercussion for a while.
Yep, we'll be digesting it for a while. There's no question about it. All right, Jack, good stuff, buddy. Thanks. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Take next Monday off.
Okay, I will.
All right. We got Jake Hanley next.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on a Monday afternoon. We, from time to time, we take a look at the markets from a little bit of a different perspective, and that being the perspective of the ETFs and Tucrium ETFs in particular. Jake Hanley is with Tucrium, and he joins us right now. Jake, It is great to talk with you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Chip. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And hello to the handsome newsman himself.
Yeah. Hello. Mister.
Hello, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jake was saying just last week that while he feels, you know, good about coming on the show, your handsomeness does kind of intimidate him just a little bit there, Davis.
You know what else is intimidating? The season that Harrison Butker has had, 15 of 15 on field goals over 40 yards. I mean, 15 of 15 over 40 yards.
There we go.
I don't know, I'm even sure I could kick a ball 40 yards.
That is pretty intimidating.
Davis, I am really sure that you cannot kick a ball 40 yards.
You're on, mister. You're on.
Oh, man. Get the phone out. Hit record. I got to see this.
Done deal, baby.
I got to tell you guys, I'm intimidated by Davis's sports knowledge. You know, it didn't always used to be this way. I mean, this is something else.
It's been a struggle, but I'm here now. I appreciate you noticing. That's great.
Yeah. Well done, sir.
Yeah. It's been enjoyable bringing him along, and yeah, he's just easier to talk to now.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh man, how is life with the ETFs right now, Jake? These markets have got to. What's the level of interest?
Yeah, you know, I can feel the pain of a producer out there who's got some grain in the bin unsold, because the level of interest right now in ETFs, I think, is reflected on the big board futures prices as well. You know, we've been in a very, very well-defined downtrend since the highs of 2022. That's no secret. And the ETF investors are mostly, for our most commonly known ETFs, are looking at that trend and betting on the momentum to continue. And so we've seen, you know, sells coming out of the ETFs. And for anybody who doesn't know what an ETF is, basically what we do is buy corn futures in our corn ETF. We buy soybean futures in our soybean ETF and wheat futures in our wheat ETF. And we're providing long-only exposure to those markets through those ETFs. ETF stands for Exchange Traded Fund. And so this is for anyone who wants to participate in the price of the futures, but doesn't want to trade the futures themselves. They can trade these exchange traded funds in a brokerage account. And so because we're owning the futures, you know, the price of the ETFs reflects the price of the futures. And when prices go down, it makes sense for people not to be long. And so we've seen selling, and it's continued to start the year here.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that interests me about ETFs, and one of the things that got me thinking about you and Sal, was, have you noticed, do the ETFs front run or do they lag moves in futures? Is there any indication of that?
As far as interest goes, from time to time, we'll see a trade that makes us scratch our head, right? We say, well, that's interesting. There's some buying interest coming in right now. Why is that? And most famously, we saw that, and I say famous among the small circle of the 10 people that work at Tucrium. Okay. But we always look back to June of 2020, when all of a sudden we saw a big jump in corn ETF interest. And it was right around the time grain prices in general started to rebound in that summer of 2020. And we did some digging, and we saw that there is a gentleman who runs a company called HedgEye. If anybody out there is a trader and trading their own brokerage account, they might be familiar with HedgEye. And Keith McCullough put out a buy recommendation on the corn ETF. And okay. He did that because he's using ETFs himself instead of trading the futures. And so that was a point where we're scratching our head going, really, people are starting to get long right now. You know, that was interesting. So
yeah,
watching the volume on the ETF worked. Well, and I will say again, you know, look at the futures, because the futures pricing, if you see open interest jump and you're seeing volume and so forth, And listen to AgriTalk too. There's some pretty smart people on AgriTalk who can give you a clue as to what's coming on. But yeah, that was one example of that scenario.
That's good. That's good. That's a great example. What are the big things? What's got your attention in the markets right now, Jake?
You know, I think like everyone, it's wondering what's going to shake out the shorts and turn things around here. And, you know, I'll tell you from a big picture perspective, we talk to folks who aren't necessarily intimately familiar with the gray markets, and we try to boil it down to a simple construct. And we call that the golden grain cycle. Okay. And there's three stages to the golden grain cycle, and it's very simple. Stage one is when prices trade at or near the cost of production. Stage two is when there's a supply-demand imbalance of some sort and prices spike. Okay, we saw that recently. And then stage three is when production increases and supplies rebuild and prices come back down. And so we have been in stage three for the better part of 18 months now. Prices are coming back down toward the cost of production. And you can look at, you know, any long-term continuation chart. We use corn, for example. You know, between 2016 and 2020, actually between 2014 and 2020, you had 6 years where prices basically just fluctuated around that $3.50 level. Mm-hmm. Right? That was roughly what we would call the futures equivalent cost of production. And they moved sideways for an extended period of time. So that's stage one. And so we think because we're in stage three right now and the cycle's about to start again, that at some point in 2024, we should see prices settle down and begin trading sideways in a relative pattern around the cost of production. And then we still need that catalyst to create a supply and demand imbalance or some concerns, whether they materialize or not. And so I have some ideas of what that could be, but I just wanted to put that structure out there for anyone.
It's a great point. Great point. You know, and the thing is, right now, we've still got a trend in corn that is down. We're still making new contract lows. We need to go through a period of time, as you just very well explained, we need to go through a period of time where maybe we're not making contract lows, but we're just basing for an extended period of time. That can take months before the demand finally comes back in.
It sure can. Or, you know, we talk about the short interest in the futures markets right now. I mean, last time we were around these levels, I believe it was in 2019. And 2019 wasn't a breakout year for corn futures, okay? But we had excessive flooding. Iowa certainly got hit in that. And so in 2019, we had a weather event that caused concern about production, right? So it's not necessarily that you need to have a production issue materialize, but you need to have the market pricing in that uncertainty. And so you might get that into the summer months seasonally. Okay. And I think this is important right now because the hedge fund managers that are short certainly know the seasonals. Seasonally, corn and soybeans, historically, and past performance doesn't guarantee future results. We always have to point that out. But historically, between February and June has been a strong calendar season for corn and soybean prices.
Yes.
And I'm sure most of your audience knows that, but that is the type of catalyst that could spook these shorts, especially if somebody decides to start covering and take profits.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting them to cover shorts and take profits is one thing. Jake, I just want them to stop selling.
That would be nice. I thought you were going to say, you know, making them go net long is a whole nother thing, which, you know, is again, maybe asking too much. Right. But that's the next step, you know, Chip, that we would like to see, because that would mean folks would likely be coming back into being long on the ETFs. And there are some things that could bring that about. I think you had, was it on Friday, Jody Lawrence on?
Yeah.
Speaking about soybean crush facilities.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy, you know, running the math based on his numbers, which he says is conservative. You know, I started to look at the corn balance sheet in acreage. Mm-hmm. Say, well, okay, if we need to crush, 50,000 soybean bushels a day across 30 plants and 300 operating days a year, my math, and I had to take off my shoes for this, so tell me if I'm wrong, with 450 million bushels of beans.
Right.
So we're going to have to take some acreage from corn. Now, that could be a fundamental shift for the corn balance sheet in the not too far future. So
right.
That's
right. Yep. Jake, great stuff so far. I want to talk to you about what all of this means for the outlook for corn, soybeans, wheat into 2024. Let's do that next. Jake Hanley from Two Creek.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March hard red winter wheat futures were 2¾ cents lower at 5.98¾. March soft red wheat up 0.75 cents to 5.97½. March corn futures were 1¢ 1/2 higher, 4.30 1/2. May corn up a penny, 4.42 1/2. March soybean futures were 9¼ cents higher today, 11.93. May beans up 7¾ cents to 11.97¾. March cotton, 125 points lower today, 90.53 at the close. On the livestock side, April fat cattle, 80 cents lower, 185.92½. March feeder futures, $1.67½ higher at 248.82½. And April lean hog futures, 2½ cents lower today, 81.12½. Get more market news every market day. Try ProFarmer.com.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today under sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to the low 40s. We hang on to the warmth through midweek, but then a storm system strikes, bringing a wintry mix and dragging in much cooler temperatures behind it for the weekend. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jake Hanley from Tucrium ETFs. We've talked about kind of the current state of the markets and kind of what has gotten us to where we're at today. We are in that third phase of the golden grain cycle, which is we've got a hefty supply. Prices are down. We're trying to build demand. So, Jake, when you take in everything that you guys look at on a daily basis, what does that outlook for 2024 look like? And I think you probably need to do kind of corn and beans at the same time here, don't you?
I think that's right, Chip.
Yeah.
You know, the fundamentals on the global perspective, on the global balance sheets, we see both corn and soybeans stocks use ratio, again, on a global basis, growing. And by the way, even if you take the lowest end of the South American analysts that we see for Brazil, okay, yeah. You get 149 with CONAB, for example, maybe not the lowest end, but 149, that still doesn't really disrupt the global situation.
Nope.
And so I think that fundamentally is the issue here for these grains. Now, domestically, it's different, right? It's tight in the soybean market. Corn stocks use, of course, is, you know, up towards 15% right now domestically based on the current USDA projections. But yeah, that's the fundamental situation. As you said, we have enough. We're really close to having plenty. And I think the market is trading plenty right now.
Right.
And so that's the supply scenario. On the demand side of things, you know, we look again, big picture, usage is going up and on a global basis, Chip. Okay. So usage is continuing to climb. Now, the fact of the matter is that from time to time, production misses. There's a misfire, right? Mm-hmm. And production fails to keep up with that growth in usage. We do a study going all the way back to 1960, and every year is either a record for global grain consumption or it's the second best ever, right? Followed by another record the next year. So
yeah.
Usage just keeps going up, 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 up. And so that's really important to understand. We can talk about demand, but demand is good. And so what is going to have to happen for prices to move higher again is I believe there's going to have to be a supply disruption.
Right.
Either because of weather, you know, and we got excited a little bit about, you know, the weather in Brazil, and I think we had good reason to, but mm-hmm. again, it's not making as big of a dent as would we'd like to see for prices to move higher. But weather in the United States for the rest of the year, okay? There's nothing in the ground yet, right? It's only the middle of February. And so is the 2024-25 crop year going to be a year where the U.S. Faces some weather challenges? Maybe. We see yeah. NOAA coming out now and saying that there is a 50% likelihood we transition back to a La Nina in the middle of the summer here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the timing of that could have some implications and create some dry weather in key growing areas. But really, for the rest of 2024, Chip, I think that our base case is pretty solid. We're likely to see prices eventually settle near the cost of production. It's when you get into 25, 26, where there's some potential for weather disruptions. Again, if La Nina is extended, boy, oh boy, imagine if you knock 50% off of Argentina's soybean production again.
Right. Right.
Or we get that unfortunate drought that we had in the U.S. tied to a La Nina phase again.
Right.
Those types of things, I think, would hurt production and help prices.
Right, right. You know, we look at a year ago, and we talked about it this morning, Davis and I did, just briefly. You look back at 2023, we had a record corn yield, had a bean yield that was better than what anybody expected. And I'll be honest with you, it was one of those years that I thought when we got the combines rolling, because of the rainfall patterns, I thought we were going to hear it's worse than expected, not better than expected. Mm-hmm. And we look at some of the, you know, just extra issues that we had to deal with this last year. And the first thing I'm going to point at is the smoke coming out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard much discussion on that, Jake? And if you haven't, no problem. I'm curious.
No, I haven't heard much discussion on that, okay. But I have thought about it, okay? Because that smoke coming out of Canada could have been good and it could have been bad. Right now, based on the information that we're looking at, it appears that it was good.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, I don't necessarily know why, if it helped suppress temperatures at a critical time, something of that nature. But I'm with you, Chip, and you're not alone, by the way. I mean, and I think the farmers being undersold right now on this crop is telling us that we're not alone.
Right.
And so that is a factor that I don't think anybody, at least not in the street, when I say the street, you know, professional traders were looking at. We should probably take a peek at that looking forward here.
Okay. So weather is a potential disruptor in 2024, 2025. Mm-hmm. And then you look at all the geopolitical issues that we've got going out there right now, Jake. It feels like hot spots could explode at any time.
Yeah, it certainly does. And you know, I think they have exploded. And what's interesting here is that war breaking out isn't necessarily bullish for grains. And I say that because in hindsight being 2020, we saw war break out between Russia and Ukraine and prices spiked because of the uncertainty. And I think the market was right to try to figure out what would the price of wheat be if the Black Sea shuts down and no grain can escape the Black Sea. Well, of course, grain continued to get out of the Black Sea and Russian wheat is more important to the market right now than Ukraine wheat. Russian exports are 24% of the market. For wheat, where Ukraine is, I think they're below 10% now. So Russian wheat is getting out. And by the way, ask the Eastern European countries, Poland,
right. We
were talking about this in the open, you know, is war breaking out in Ukraine bullish for grain? Not in that local market.
Yeah.
Right. So
not if you're in Poland, it's not.
Yeah. Not if you're in Poland. So I would just say that war creates volatility. You know, these geopolitical disruptions can create dislocations in the market. But it's not a binary on-off bullish bearish switch. In fact, you could point to a scenario where if war stopped right now, the prices might go up. So, it's an interesting thing when you look at the geopolitics.
Right. Okay,
the uncertainty is tough.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground, but I think we can go just a little bit further with this because if we break it down. To what drives the ETS, what drives the markets, you got to look at which direction the money is coming from and where it's going to. And you look at the Dow right now is up more than 100 points. The S&P 500 is basically steady. The NASDAQ is trading just a bit lower. It's not even a quarter of a point lower at this point. But equities seem to be where the money is headed, right?
You got it, sir. You've heard it. Trend is your friend. Okay.
Yep.
And so the trend in 2023 was for stocks to move up, commodities to go down. And that seems to be continuing right now. And I think as Todd Bubba Horowitz says, the prices will continue to go up until they don't.
Until they don't.
And that's what we're seeing here. And I think, Chip, just to take a step back, because a lot of people that I speak with are still feeling the pain from inflation and high prices and so forth. And I think it's really important when you're looking at the market right now and you think back to our experience with inflation. This is, in my opinion, market inflation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can draw a line back to the COVID stimulus money. Yep. That was put directly into consumers' pocketbooks. Okay. Consumers then spent that money. And remember, during lockdowns, few things were open. Okay. So there's too much money chasing too few goods. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of inflation, too much money chasing too few goods. But now that money's all been spent. And that money having been spent is now in the pockets of the ownership class, okay, or the well-paid executives and managers that, run companies that sell the goods that consumers bought, right? So that class of citizens, they have net savings, and they put those savings not under the mattress. Typically, they put that in the stock market. So now you have too much money in the stock market, in the case of NVIDIA, for example, chasing too few shares outstanding.
Yep.
And who knows what the fundamentals of NVIDIA should be? I mean, they make, you know, graphic processing units for AI technology. I mean, how do you put a valuation on that, right? But we can look at the commodity market and say, boy, it's not 2021, 2022 anymore. There's plenty of commodities available. And so we have the opposite scenario in commodities. There's enough commodities here. We seem to have plenty. Whereas in stocks, that's where we see the inflation right now. Now, that could very well shift, and it could shift based on technicals, not necessarily the fundamentals. And for that, you know, take your cues on crude oil. When we're talking commodity markets, most investors are a lot more familiar with crude oil than they are with corn and soybeans. Right. And so if that, you know, money starts to shift and going into the energy markets, that could be a signal that, hey, maybe the grains are going to get a look too now, especially if Jake at Ephraim's doing his job, then they will.
Gotcha. Jake, if we want to learn more about the ETFs, where do we go?
X, formerly known as Twitter, at Tucrium ETFs, or Tucrium.com. That's TEUCRIUM.com.
Got it. Good stuff, Jake. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Chip. Have a great day.
Yep. Jake Hanley, Tucrium ETFs. We got Carrie Artek next.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders like bacteria, pollen, and yes, germs with Navage Nasal Care. Navage flushes ultra-pure, refreshing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Don't get caught empty-handed this winter. Get Navage, the drug-free solution that helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier. Even better, Navage is HSA FSA eligible, so Navage is a great way to spend those funds before they expire. Don't wait a minute longer. Buy Navage today and you'll breathe easier knowing you're putting your funds to good use. Navage is available online at Navage.com or Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Are you attending Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas this year? Head on over to agmarket.net's booth, booth 6605, not just to say hi, but to check out how we can help with your marketing and consulting needs. Plus, enter our giveaway for your chance to win a shotgun. That's agmarket.net. The booth is located on the third floor, number 6605. The risk of loss in trading futures and or options is substantial and may not be suitable for all investors or producers.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
And we are about to wrap up the first day of AgriTalk this week. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us. That is Davis Michelson.
Yo.
Are you there? Yeah.
I'm here.
We got Davis Michelson, and it is Monday. That's time to bring in Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Hey, Kerry, how you doing?
Hey, Chip, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing real fine, real fine. Don't forget, listeners, you can go to artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com, and Kerry will get you started on a free trial. All right, Kerry, get us started. Where are we going first?
March soybeans.
Okay.
In early January, about a month ago, the market closed below for the first time a three-year rising channel bottom on the weekly chart that is presently at 1263 and three quarter. That is well above the market. We've been falling ever since, but the 3 to 5 month objective is 1090 even, essentially. We're not there yet. We're getting snagged right now at the 2021 low of 1181 and a quarter. We've been bottoming out that for the last week. From 1181 and a quarter, we could round back up to 1263 and three quarter, perhaps over the next month or two. I don't see any inclination for that. I would, if we settled this week above 1222 even, then we've got a 2 to 3 week pop to the upside. 1263 and three quarter still offering a short sale hedge setting opportunity as we move through spring, because below which 1090 even is calling, so to speak. And if we close this week below 1181 and a quarter, which is considered an eventuality given that big picture sell signal, I would expect then 1090 even within a month or two, by the end of April at the latest, where the broader soybean market can actually bottom out through the year, actually. On to feeder cattle, March contract settled 248.82 today. A few weeks ago, late January, we settled above meaningful resistance at 241.20. That is our floor of support, and above which a 3 to 5 month buy signal. Just the opposite of soybeans, a 3 to 5 month buy signal remains in effect, expecting that 30-year channel top again at 266.75 over the next 3 to 5 months. We came very close to testing that last September and fell away from it significantly. The accelerator to the upside for testing 266 and three quarters sooner than later would be a settlement this week above 253.17. That is a 2 month rising channel top that we keep testing over the last few weeks and falling away from. If we close Friday above 253.17, I do think by the end of March, we could test 266.75, where an annual high can be placed once again. downside. If we happen to close back below 241.20, I do see that as a good winter high. We should then continue south over the next couple of months to 219.20. Now, 219.20 is a three-year channel bottom we actually tested in December and have rallied off of nicely. And just in terms of the big picture for feeder cattle, I see no reason to be bearish long term, that is to say through the rest of the year, the broader feeder cattle market, unless we were to actually close below that 219.20 mark. And once again, I don't expect to see that unless we close this week below 241.20. And then I would say by the end of March. And finally, cotton. What a rally in cotton.
Man.
The May contract settled 91.30. I see holding above 88.90, which is a couple of points below present price levels. 88.90 can contain selling into March trade, and above which there is a long-term price ceiling at 95.51. That is a 2.5-year channel top. I've got it illustrated for my subscribers on page 2 of the Cotton Letter. 95.51 may well contain buying through the rest of the year, and it is considered a 3 to 5 week target right now. We just might see that with present volatility by the end of next week. 95.51 able to contain annual buying pressures. From there, by the end of the year, we could fall all the way back into the mid-70s. If we were to close any week above 95.51, that's a significant buy signal that should, over the following, I'll say 3 to 5 months, yield the 113 to 115 area. Downside, if we close back below 88.90 this week, that puts out a good high through March. Over the next 3 to 5 weeks, 84.64, where we could bottom out into April trade. It is very stair step on the way down. We would need to close below 84.64 to then indicate the mid-70s again within several months. So I think that pretty much rounds it out, Chip.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Good work, Kerry. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Sure, you have a great day.
You too. You too. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Go to artakadvisory.com. Get signed up for that that free trial. You know, even when the low-end numbers that he's giving us on the feeder cattle side of things, the 219, it 219 is still a big number in feeder cattle. It's nowhere close to the highs. I get that. But it's amazing how the technical analysis is lining up with the fundamentals of that market and kind of showing us the way that we can stick a low in this in feeder cattle relatively quickly if we do see some kind of a setback that comes into the market. It's crazy.
And
market.
Ultimately manage to make a profit, too, eventually, I think would probably be ideal.
Yeah, there you go. There you go for the cow-calf guy. No question about it. No question. All right. Let's jump out to the National Weather Service.
Bro,
six to
speedo
10
weather.
Day outlook.
Speedo weather in Alaska, but it's fleeting, Chip. Fleeting speedo weather in Alaska.
Yeah, above normal temperatures in Alaska, especially over there on the West Coast. I don't know how much, you know, mosquito weather or speedo weather that is.
Oh, yeah, you don't want the two. No, not at the same time.
No. We've got below normal temperatures in the forecast for North Dakota, South Dakota, Northeast Nebraska, most of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, and Michigan. The rest of the Corn Belt is looking at near normal temperatures for February 18 through the 22nd. Above normal precipitation, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, southern Minnesota, Iowa, most of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. So near normal to below normal temperatures and above normal on the precipitation. And then the warmth starts to come back in out of the southwest. Yeah. Above normal temperatures in the 8 to 14 day for February 20th through the 26th. We're looking at above normal temperatures, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, southern half of Illinois, and points to the south and west of that. And then near normal to above normal rains out in the eastern belt. Hey, I've got to be on the road tomorrow. Michelle Rook and Davis will keep the conversation going here on AgriTalk.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here.